Life is a series of change. And some of those changes are for the good, and some are not always so good. And as we think about our own lives, we know that things don't ever stay the same for a long, long time. Things happen very suddenly, and sometimes the things we never expected are in our hands. We wonder how in the world things happen so quickly. But changes do take place, and we have to be very careful. Sometimes the changes that take place are changes that we bring about but didn't realize it. And because changes take place very slowly, we often lose sight of where we're going or what may happen to us and what may be a part of our lives. A number of years ago, there was an old man. I call him an old man because he and my father were about the same age, and my father was much older than me, but these were in his declining years, and I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to be respectful because here was a man who had retired from his job, but he had not retired from his work for the Lord. He was an active older man. He lived in an old house, and he drove an old car. That's what he described it to me. But in his garage, which was old too, he had one place where he had a storehouse and another place where he had a printing press. This old man had printed 11 million tracts and sent them to the four corners of the earth and never had charged anybody anything. He did it out of love. And he had people from all over the world, Ghana included, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Philippines, Indonesia, Australia, South America, Central America, all of those places. People would write to him and say, "We want free tracts," and he would send them about 100 tracts. And if they wrote him again, he would send them again. And he just kept printing them. And there would be others who sometimes would help him, and some of them would give things. But a man of such character as this, and I only knew him the last couple of years of his life. I went to see him one day, and we had a very nice visit. Now, he was very abrasive in his personality, very abrasive. He was not a good personal worker because he offended nearly everybody he talked to, but he found out that if he could print tracts, people would read them and he could convert people, and there were many churches established because of the tracts that he sent free. Because you see, in certain parts of the world, people will read anything. We're very spoiled in America. But there are places where even the most poorly printed thing will be read by everyone. And he knew that, and he really did well to send it out to everyone. And so when Claire, his first name was Claire, only man I ever knew whose first name was Claire, when he asked me the question, and he took a long time asking it, he said, "I want to ask you something that'll change your life." Well, I didn't know that my life needed changing necessarily, but I thought this is a rather intriguing thing. And he began to talk a little while about this and about that, and he says, "Now, I've been thinking about this question for about a week, and the more I think about it, the more it makes a difference in me. I want to share this question with you." And I thought, well, get on with it. And he kept talking about the question. And finally he said, "Here's the question. What are you becoming?" You know, it was almost if by asking that question, he could peer into my soul and see me underneath everything. You know, here I was, I'd just gotten my master's degree, I'd been a preacher for a long time. What is he asking me? What are you becoming for? But you see, there's that other level on which we all live, that personal level, that personal day-to-day level. what are you becoming? What are you becoming? Okay, now take your Bibles out. We're going to be reading a story. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, and we're going to take up that reading from verse 4. Now, the fellow who is the focus of this chapter is Samson. Samson with the long hair. Samson who was the strongest man physically to ever live. Samson who was one of the judges of Israel. Samson. But Samson had some weaknesses too. And after this, it came about, verse 4, Judges 16, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Sorek is about halfway between Jerusalem and Gaza, and down in the area where the Philistines were, those cities down in there. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him so that we may bind him to afflict him. And then we'll each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." A lot of money. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you, if somebody's going to overcome you." Samson said to her, "Well, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Well, then the lords of the Pharisees brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, she had men lying in wait in an inner room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he snapped the cords as a string of tow snaps when it touches fire. So his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound." And he said to her, "If they bind me tightly with new ropes, which have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." For the men were lying in wait in the inner room. But he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Now up to now, you've deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound." And he said to her, If you were to weave the 7 locks of my hair with the web, fasten it with a pin, and then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair, wove them into the web. She fastened it with a pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep, and he pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. And she said to them, "How can you say you love me? How can you say I love you when your heart's not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is." And it came about that she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, that his soul was annoyed to death. Oh boy. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Dummy. What do you say about a fella that had been through this experience 3 times? First it was the new ropes, and then it was the other ropes, and then it was the weaving of the hair. And she pulled this stunt on him 3 times. Dummy. A dummy, that's what he was, a dummy. He wasn't thinking. You see, he was looking at her. He wasn't thinking about the Lord. Oh yeah, he could get up and he could destroy all these guys in the inner room that were lying in wait. But you know, he should have known after the first couple of times that she was out to get him. He should have known her for what she was. Dummy. But he was so blind to what was happening. Let me tell you, sin will blind you. Sin will blind you. Love for the wrong things will blind you. It'll put that thing over your eye so that you cannot see clearly and straightly. And that's what happened to Samson. Now, he didn't get that way overnight. Samson had always had a thing for the ladies, and he would always do foolish things in order to get the lady he wanted. And now here was Delilah. I bet she was a beauty to behold, and maybe as worldly as anybody of that time, and man, she was the one everybody wanted, but she was Samson's girl. But she used her beauty to get to him. And he was a dummy. Now, no one likes to be thought of as being foolish. But you know what? He wasn't thinking with his head. And he wasn't thinking from God. He was thinking with his feelings and his desires. And they weren't entirely pure desires either. So he told her his whole heart. Now, when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up at once, for he has told me all that is in his heart." And then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees. And then she called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. That's a powerful statement. Now you see, that's the way sin and the world acts on us. Very slowly and incrementally. You would think that after a little while we'd get an understanding that there are some things we ought to just completely leave alone. But Satan knows there's a lot of different ways to influence us. And if Satan came up to us and said, "I'm Satan. Look at my red suit. I want you to be a sinner," we'd probably all run and go away. We'd know him for what he was. But Satan is not that way. Satan acts in small bites, moves a little closer, a little closer. He works at it. And kind of like a situation where somebody is hunting or somebody's fishing, he thinks if he can move a little step closer and a little step closer, a little step closer, maybe he can reach the goal that he wants to reach. And that's the way it was with Delilah. Every day she would say the same thing to him. "Well, how can you tell me you love me and you won't tell me what's in, you won't share this secret with me?" Well, he should have been able to see what kind of person she was. And sometimes we think we ought to be able to see, but you see, once you get used to certain things, it's easy for you to take the next step and the next step and the next step, and you don't even think you've moved that far. And the devil has a hold of you. And he makes you to become something that you never wanted to be and never intended to be. Now, you know what happened, of course. They came in, they seized him, verse 21. They gouged out his eyes. And they brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze chains. And you know they made fun of him in front of everybody. And the Bible says that he was a grinder in the prison. He would work and push that grinding mill all day long, every day. He was like an animal. Now here was a man who had had the strength of God in him, physically. You and I have never had a physical encounter with God, but in a sense, Samson had. And yet, whenever the time of his testing came, after a long time, he gave in and he lost everything. He lost his freedom. He lost his eyes. He lost his self-respect. And he lost the Lord. The Lord departed from him. And all of the things that this man thought he could do whenever he was strong, he couldn't do any of those things now. That was Samson. What are you becoming? What are you becoming? You know, we all go through those periods of times in our lives where we began to do and to be things that we never wished we were. And the devil is smart enough to know where our weak spots are. You know, if you've got two people who are in a wrestling match, one of the things they do is they scout out the other person. And they try to find where the injuries are, where the weaknesses are, and they will focus on that part of the body. And the devil is like that too. You remember the Bible says, be on the alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You be on the alert. You watch out because he's after you. That's all of us. Peter said that to everybody. He said it to elders. He said it to deacons. He said it to teachers. He said it to faithful members. He said it to everybody, no matter who you are. And there are times in our lives when we need to really be careful to not allow little bits of compromise to grow into big things that destroy us. You know, he just, little more, little more, little more, then he was gone. Someone has said that a thought becomes an act, and an act develops into a habit. A habit shapes the character, and the character forms the destiny. And that's true. And sometimes change is so gradual that we don't even know it's happening. It is amazing if you speak to somebody who is an alcoholic will hardly ever admit that he's an alcoholic. And part of the reason is because he thinks he's in control when he's not. The alcohol is. I remember reading a little story about a fly that was circling around. And it looked down and it saw some flypaper. And there was gooey on that flypaper. And it smelled good. And that fly began to come down, and he landed on that flypaper. And the fly said, "My flypaper." And the flypaper said, "My fly." And sometimes you think you've got a hold of the sin. And in reality, the sin has a hold of you. It can happen that way. When we change, we have to think about how we're changing. And God wants us to leave the fleshly and come toward the spiritual. That's really what our lives are about. To become more loving and less selfish. To become more careful and be less careless. To be more committed and less indifferent. To be more holy rather than ungodly. To be more involved rather than distracted, to be more wise and less foolish, to have more faith and fewer doubts, to be more responsible rather than to be immature, to be more of a steward rather than to waste what we have. I think the Hebrew writer was so correct in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, whenever he mentions just a little fraction of an idea that I think is well worth our thinking through. He says in verse 1, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it." Drifting is something that happens very slowly. You don't even know you're drifting. But how easy it is for you to wind up somewhere you never intended to be, and to be in danger simply because you weren't paying the kind of attention that you needed to pay. I'm thankful that Samson's story does not end here. We're going to pick up our reading in verse 23. It says, "Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us.' And it so happened that when they were in high spirits, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may amuse us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. And then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, 'Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them." What they hadn't noticed is what was said in verse 22, that the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, this one time. O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested. He braced himself against them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all of his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. By the way, they've excavated some of those sites and they have found temples very much like this one, where the whole structure of the roof depended upon two pillars. You knock the two pillars over and the rest falls down. And the Bible says, "So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life." Samson went through the tough time to become something that God had always wanted him to be. You know, this is one of the first times in the life of Samson where we see Samson actually calling upon God to help him. You might have an experience like that. Something happened to you and you need God. You've always needed God. And Samson did too. But you know what? It's so easy for us to let our senses get dulled and our lives to drift so that we forget how much we need God. Someone asked me, "Phil, how are you doing?" I like to say, "I'm well. The Lord's been good to me." And I try to say that every day because I want to remember that whatever gift I have, whatever blessing I have, whatever health I have, it's because God gave it to me. And God's been good to me. I don't know where you are in your life, but you're becoming something. What are you becoming? Where will you be 5 years from now if you continue on the course that you're going today? Where will you be 10 years from now or 20 years from now? Will you be better or worse? Will you be more loving or less loving? Will you be more with the Lord or less with the Lord? If your heart's been far away from God, you might be like Samson, ready for a fall and really hurt yourself and never be able to recover. If you're flirting with sin in your life, you need to understand that that sin will overcome you. Don't drift, don't drift, don't go, be careful. Don't be a dummy like Samson and have three clear warnings and then go on and do the stupid thing anyway. What are you becoming? Now, I told you early on that that question, which was asked to me nearly 20 years ago, had a life-changing aspect to it. And I have to tell you, since he asked me that day, I've never been able to forget it. What are you becoming? Are you becoming the kind of child of God that God would be happy with, that He loves and would bless? Or are you becoming more worldly? Are you becoming more foolish? What are you becoming? Now this afternoon, the invitation is open, and it's God's invitation. And if you love Him and you want to become a child of God, the first step is by believing. Believing in Jesus that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the second step is repenting and turning away from sin. This is a decision of the heart and soul. Oh, I know there'll be some sins that will be hard to give up. And if I'm talking to you about repentance today, you won't even know all the things that you've got to repent of because it's a lifelong effort. But it starts today. And it starts with that determination, I'm going to follow God and I'm not ever going to follow anyone else. Would you do that? And with that faith and that repentance, tell the world that you believe in Him and then be baptized. Because that's what He teaches, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Would you become a Christian by being baptized and having the Lord wash away your sins and bless you and help you? I'm urging you to do that this afternoon if you've never done it before. And today could be the beginning of what you're becoming, but you have to take those first steps. Won't you take them today while we stand and sing?